Well, it happened just last week. Sophia, our resident 6-year-old granddaughter, was registered for an overnight camp at Chippewa. It was an event that had been scheduled since last April. Now, the scheduling itself had been an ordeal. We had to coordinate 3 adult calendars so Mom could accompany Sophia on the excursion while Grandpa and I stayed at home to take care of 1-year-old Jacob. That, of course, meant trying to find a Saturday where there was a cap camp and Grandpa and I didn't have any conflicting events. Now, you would think that after juggling and rearranging everything that we had to do to make the event happen, that one of those 3 adults would have thought to record the event on a calendar, right? Yeah, right. And as the self-appointed family coordinator and scheduler of the events, that someone is normally me. But alas, this time I didn't do it. I was going to. I really was. But life just kept getting in the way. And besides, I knew when the camp was. For years, it has been the 3rd weekend in July. But not this year. It was purely by accident that last Wednesday, I had someone call the office and I had to look something up on the camp schedule for them. And it was another accident that I thought to turn the camp schedule over, and lo and behold, guess when the camp was. I called our daughter and said, "Guess where you're going on Friday?" And she said, "Say what?" Now, luckily, she was still clear. But how many of you remember what last week was like around this church? There was a meeting from 9 o'clock Saturday morning until noon that both Michael and I were supposed to attend. There was the youth fundraiser that we had to be here at 4 o'clock for, and the concert afterwards, and no one to take care of Jacob. Poor Grandpa. I was chairing the meeting. He got to chase Jacob. Thank heavens the camp ended early. You know, it's amazing when things like that happen. How quickly we are to blame someone else. It's also amazing that the slip-ups that occur and the stress that we endure because we are so busy, so overcommitted, so distracted, happen because we don't have time to simply sit down and relax, to take a breather, to figure out what we're supposed to do next. When was the last time you actually had time to sit down with family and friends and enjoy the gathering without being too tired from trying to get ready for it or exhausted because you knew what you had to do afterwards? We are so busy, so stressed, so overcommitted. Now, we'd like to think that this is just part of living in the 21st century. Because we're in an instant communication world where the demands are growing and by leaps and bounds, and because we're in contact with so many people, and because our jobs are so high stress, and because families are going in 9 different directions, but give me a break. You see, God knew this is exactly where we were going to end up. clear back in the beginning. When God had finished creating the world, God stopped and rested. And then it wasn't long before he said, "By the way, folk, you do the same. Take a Sabbath. Give it a break. Spend one day a week resting and worshiping me." But from the very beginning, we humans have had a way of having our way. You know, it's as if we actually enjoy being so stressed and distracted. It's a badge of honor. I don't know about you, but when I get together with colleagues, the first thing out of somebody's mouth is, "You won't believe my schedule." And then everybody tries to play one-upman. We like it. We enjoy it. Why, sometimes we even set ourselves up for it. Case in point. When Jesus decided to drop in on Martha and her sister Mary, what was the first thing Martha did? She hurried off to the kitchen, and she started fixing the food. Now, in her defense, that was in accordance with the customs of the time. She expected Mary to do the same thing. And when she didn't, Martha got angry. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just imagine the woman storming around her kitchen, banging pans on whatever it was she cooked on, slamming dishes onto the table, and placing well-directed glares right at the back of Mary. This woman was mad. She was put upon. She was busy, and Mary was just sitting there. Finally, her anger boiled over, and she approached Jesus and she said, "Lord, don't you even care that Mary isn't helping me?" Now, did you hear it? Did you hear what she said? She walked up to the Lord and she said, "Yo, dude, what's the matter? Don't you care?" Mary wasn't the only one who Martha was mad at. She was so overly stressed that Jesus himself was suddenly coming under fire. When I approach my spouse with the "you don't care," I don't know. Anytime it doesn't end in a fight. You know what? At that moment, Jesus didn't care. Because in place of apologizing to Martha and asking Mary to get up and help, he turned to Martha and he said, "Martha, my friend, what's wrong? You are so worried and distracted that you don't even remember what's important anymore." According to James Wallace, this is the most important moment in that story. Jesus, and I quote, "is not going after busy Martha, but worried and distracted Martha." He's speaking to his dear friend, who has worked herself into a state of anxious distraction. She has focused her frustration not only on her sister, but now on her friend and guest, and has lost sight of the one she has significantly called Lord. Jesus is calling her to refocus. Hospitality is not primarily about food, but more important, about focus. Martha had lost her focus. She had decided what was the most important thing. And she had decided wrong. It's not a 21st century phenomenon. We humans have been cluttering our lives from the beginning of time. And if we examine this exchange between Martha and Jesus, what we will discover is that our stress-filled lives are not a result of being overcommitted. They are instead the direct result of being distracted from the truly important things in life. Christians, if we would only take the time to focus on the Lord, to give him some serious prime time, to take just a few moments each day to focus on him, it would change our lives completely. We would still be busy. Our schedules would still be full, and our to-do list would still be longer than any one human being could possibly accomplish. But by focusing on Christ, by looking for God, to God in everything that we do, in every decision we made, we would remain focused on the truly important thing. We would know which commitments to back out of, which commitments to take, what to do, where to go next. Friends, with our eyes on Christ and Christ alone, we will, paraphrasing Bishop Scott Jones, learn to keep the main thing, the main thing. And the main thing is Christ. So if you're feeling rushed and haggard, if even the simplest of tasks seem like too much, if you find yourself overworked, overextended, and over-anxious, then do exactly what has been asked of us from the beginning. Spend some time just hanging out with God. Move from that place of being worried and distracted by many things to the one where you can reach out and touch the thing that you need. And if you do, if you get to that place in your life, then you will discover that regardless of your calendar, your life will be calm and the decisions will come. It is in that place you will connect with the source of our being. It is there you will find the wisdom to choose, the strength to follow, and the peace to remain focused. To God be the glory.